This next story embodies the very ideas of friendship and goodwill. Alan Simpson served as a Republican senator from Wyoming for nearly three decades. Norman Mineta was a Democratic congressman from California and Secretary of Transportation in the administration of George W. Bush. Mineta and Simpson have been friends for a very long time. The story of how they met starts when Mineta's family was placed on a train bound for Heart Mountain, Wyoming. That was the site of an internment camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. Norman Mineta remembers arriving at Heart Mountain.
And the day we got there, it was really cold. The wind was blowing, sagebrush tumbling along. And as Californians, you know, we had light clothing. And because of the wind, we had that sand silt inside the barracks building. Mm. We had no broom or anything else to clean things up. So with cardboard or whatever we could find, we sort of had to sweep up the silt inside the barracks buildings.
How old were you at the time when this happened, and how did you process all this?
You know, for me, when we heard about the evacuation, I was 10 years old. There were rumors that we were going to Santa Anita Racetrack. It was about 400 miles away. So that meant we were going to be on the train overnight. So, you know, for a kid, that was, oh boy, we're going to be on a train trip overnight. And yet for my sisters and my brother, my parents and the older folks, they knew what the impact of this evacuation and internment might be. The part that I do remember was when those placards were being put up and they were posted on sides of buildings, utility poles, and it said, attention all those of Japanese ancestry, alien and non-alien. And so I had to ask my brother, I said, who's the non-alien? And he said, that's you. I said, well, why isn't the government calling us citizens? So right away, you realize that the government was already using psychological warfare on us, and they wouldn't even acknowledge us as citizens. And that's why to this day, I cherish the word citizen, because my own government wasn't willing to refer to me as a citizen, but as a non-alien. Now, I don't know how many times any proud U.S. citizen has stood up and pounded his chest and said, I'm a proud non-alien of the United States of America. So that's why to this day I cherish the word citizen.
Now, Alan Simpson, you lived in Cody, Wyoming, grew up there. What are your memories of the Heart Mountain internment camp? I mean, it was just down the road from you. And how had it all been explained to you by your family and neighbors?
Well, first of all, Norm and I are the same age. We were 10 when the war started. We were 12 when we met. And we were stunned as I think the president, don't forget, Franklin Roosevelt signed this order, one of the great civil libertarians of our time. Don't forget, went to the U.S. Supreme Court. They said it was a military necessity. These things happened out of war and hysteria and racism. So suddenly in a sagebrush flat, there was nothing out there between the town of Powell, which is 21 miles away, and Cody. Suddenly, a huge army of people came and erected a series of barracks made out of tar paper shacks, and 11,000 people suddenly came to this camp. And you're a kid, and you're driving to Powell, which was practically a dirt road, and suddenly the third largest city in Wyoming is sitting out here in the flat under Heart Mountain. It was surrounded by barbed wire and guard towers with soldiers in the towers with machine gun mounts. And you're thinking, who wants to go in that place? Why would you? All the guns are aimed inside. But we had a very remarkable scoutmaster, and he said there are Boy Scout troops out there, and we're going to go out there. And he said, if any of your parents don't want that, you have them tell me. Only one parent objected. My parents said, get on out there. These are American citizens. These are kids just like you, 12-year-old kids reading those same terrible little books and all that. And so that's where I met Norm when I went out for one of those jamborees.
But it just sounds like, as a 10-year-old, Alan Simpson, your interpretation of this internment camp was just confusing for you?
How could it be anything else? There was a restaurant in Cody, Wyoming, who said, no Japs allowed. You sons of bitches killed my son on Iwo Jima. They'll say, how could this happen? It's easy. It's hysteria and racism. As a kid, you had on your wall a picture of Tojo and Hitler and Mussolini, and you threw darts at those figures all day.
So, Norman Mineta, even though this internment camp was a completely abnormal part of your life, even in the camp you had a Boy Scout troop at Heart Mountain.
When we first got to Heart Mountain, the schools hadn't been built, and our camp elders were concerned about how to keep us busy and stay out of trouble. So they had written to the Boy Scouts of America and Girl Scouts and said, please come and organize troops in our camps. And invariably they'd say, well, no, we're not going in there. There's barbed wire around the camp. There's machine gun towers and searchlights. We're not going in there. They're POWs. And our scout leaders wrote back and said, no, these are not POWs. These are Boy Scouts of America. They wear the same uniform you do, read the same manual you do, go after the same merit badges you do. So eventually the troop from Cody, Wyoming came in, and we did our normal knot-tying contest, and then we got paired off and to put up a pup tent. So we put up our pup tent.
Who did you put your pup tent up with? With Alan Simpson?
It turned out to be Alan, and so our friendship has started then in that little pup tent, and it's endured to this day.
Alan Simpson, how often were you able to go into the camp and hang out with Norman and his family? I mean, was it free access or was it hard?
No, not often. But I'm glad Norm left out the point that in our tent there was a bully down below and it was raining, and we directed our little moat down into that guy's tent. And then he said that I laughed hysterically. This is not true. He was laughing just as hard as I was.
I've been speaking with veteran politicians and lifelong friends, Alan Simpson and Norman Mineta. They met at a Japanese internment camp in Wyoming when they were kids. Mineta's family was placed there during World War II, and Simpson lived nearby. Mineta remembers the indignities of the camp.
All the males of draft age had to complete a questionnaire, and question number 27 was, do you forswear allegiance to the Emperor of Japan and swear allegiance to the United States of America? And many of the people said, look, I never swore my allegiance to the Emperor in the first place, so why do I have to forswear that? But to me, the amazing thing is that there were close to 120,000 people of Japanese ancestry who were forcibly removed from their homes, put into these camps for the duration of World War II. And there wasn't really rancor or bitterness that came out of the community, but a very strong feeling or attitude that something like this should never, ever happen again to anybody else. And I think the Japanese-American community stuck by that belief.
You certainly did, because years later, when you and Alan Simpson were lawmakers in Washington, you both sponsored legislation to acknowledge the thousands of Japanese Americans imprisoned in internment camps during the 40s. It was passed in 1988. Alan Simpson, tell us about that bill and what you aim to address.
First, let me just say, at least with my pal, there's a word, a Japanese word for endure, and it's gaman. Is that the pronunciation, Norm?
Right.
Come on. Means endure. These people were, it's in their DNA to endure. But the interesting thing about Norm, he's much like in a sense, Nelson Mandela, who was in Robben's Island and came out without a shred of bitterness. And Norm came out of this experience without a shred of bitterness. But back to the reparations bill, well, no one was ready to do anything after the war. There was not a thought of reparations. I can promise you that. I never heard a peep out of anybody. But finally, and Norm can tell, they worked silently, I think, for years. And finally they brought it forward, and then there was discussion about how much per person. It was a heavy debate. And my colleague from Wyoming, a fellow senator, he was not in favor of the reparations bill at all. He said, who's next? The Native Americans? How about the Shoshones and the Arapahoes over in the reservation? How about blacks in the South? Well, I tell you, it got pretty hot. And I said, well, we'll have to part on this one, pal, because I was there and I saw it and lived right next to it.
Well, the bill that was passed in 1988 clearly is a statement that these internment camps should never happen again to anybody. Today, as you've both pointed out, you're still friends. You've both traveled the world to tell this story. I'm just curious to know from you both, as politicians, your reactions to suggestions from some corners of this country that an internment camp is an idea that is relevant again today. Norman Mineta, your reaction.
Well, I just oppose it totally because it's, again, reminiscent of this whole incident that occurred in 1942 and ought not to be occurring today. I think that's why so many Japanese Americans are speaking out in opposition to the idea of rounding up Muslims because, again, whether you're a Jewish person in Poland in the late 30s or, the roundup of all people of Japanese ancestry, and it just shouldn't happen to any other group based on their ethnicity or their religion.
Alan Simpson, what do you tell Americans who are filled with this fear of the other entering this country and this whole idea that internment camps is one way to deal with that fear?
Well, it's the most absurd way to deal with it. It's if we would just deal honestly with honest immigration reform, do something with the 11 or 12 million people that are here, get them on a path to the green card or temporary residency or something, and then on to the, you know, to the chain of eventual citizenship. But don't forget, America has always stood with its arms open when things are going great. And when things tighten up, the Statue of Liberty folds her arms. And right here in America in the early 1960s, and Norm and I were brash 30-year-olds then, right here in this county, right between Powell and Cody, in the beet fields was a thing called Operation Wetback. Try that one on. Round up the Mexican Americans who were here illegally and deport them back to Mexico, and that was called Operation Wetback. Now, that's America. Don't think it's ever gone away. And with political correctness, it can hide in the cancer like a fissure in a volcano. So, you know, as people wring their hands and say, oh, my sakes, I've never had a bad thought in my life, forget it. Political correctness is like wearing duct tape over your mouth, and got to deal with it.
Alan Simpson and Norman Mineta, thank you both very much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Nice being with you, Marco.
Thank you very much. He's one of the dearest friends I have.
Equally so from my perspective.
Our wives have a little trouble with us. We see each other, we hug and kiss and break our glasses, carrying them in our pocket, of course, but we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll bet they do. What a story. Former Senator Alan Simpson and former Congressman and Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta. You can see pictures of their 70-plus-year friendship at PRI.org.